action toward recovery. This stage is focused on goals, decision-making, and the identification of solutions which can help the person achieve sobriety. So in a nutshell, David Faraci compares surrendering to letting go to riding a turbulent roller coaster where you don't see the track ahead. First comes denial, where you insist, this isn't a problem. Then anger, why does this have to feel so big? Followed by bargaining, where you negotiate with yourself for control. Next is depression, the heavy weight of realizing it's bigger than you thought. And finally, acceptance, where you allow yourself to ask for help and believe change is possible. It's raw, unpretentious, and relatable, reminding us that surrender isn't defeat. It's the pivot point where healing begins. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who knows they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Check out the show notes for the 5-day journaling companion and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, name what's been silently calling the shots in your life, whether it's a habit, a hurt, or a hangup, and meet it with honesty instead of avoidance. Then take one small step toward releasing its grip, reminding yourself that you're not powerless. You are in progress. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How I wound up here.
KBOO.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to Film at 11 here on your community radio, KBOO Portland. KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform, which means we are funded by you, the listener. This morning, Matthew of KBOO's monthly Gremlin Time to discuss the new film from Jackie Chan. But first, we take a quick whirlwind tour of recent films. Let's begin with perhaps the most anticipated movie of the summer. I refer, of course, to ABBA Against the Odds.
Hello, I'm Agnetha.
Hello, I'm Frida.
And I'm Benny.
There was so much singing.
Together they sound somehow jubilant.
I'm really trying to put my life experience in the song.
Having to be together all the time can create problems.
You must be rich, but are you happy too?
This is a documentary about the birth and founding of one of the world's everywhere but America greatest rock groups or pop music groups. And it tells a story from being the only good band to win the Eurovision Song Contest to having a succession of hits and worldwide tours until they just basically got tired, and in some cases tired of each other, and eventually broke up, but still remain one of the most popular groups in Europe. And there's even an ABBA museum in Sweden. But what I always liked about ABBA was that each of their songs seemed to contain at least three different little melodies. They were so prolific with themes and sounds and opening catchy riffs, and they offer us the only musical documentary this week. I'm sure there'll be another one coming soon on somebody somewhere. But for now, we've got ABBA. Another big movie on the horizon is the new Mission Impossible officially dubbed Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning.
This can't all be true.
Every word.
CIA Black Vault break-in.
Am I reading this correctly? The Kremlin bombing?
In fairness, the bomb was actually meant to kill him.
He gassed a security briefing. That was just 2 months ago.
This explains the handcuffs. It's still not clear why he's here.
If we want to bring the world back from the brink, we have to deal with him.
Should he choose to accept?
Smart people on every side are close to panicking.
What exactly is your plan?
I need you to trust me one last time.
I'm not so sure about that title. It seems to me that a reckoning is already final. But that being the case, this is a wrap-up of the story of the last two or three movies in the series. And it does have a lot of fan service in it, in terms of bringing back certain characters, in one case, all the way back from the very first movie. There was something odd about this movie, however. It's enjoyable and action-packed, and it does get better as it goes along, but you really have to know your Mission Impossible backstories or previous films, and yet the film does try to help you along with numerous little flashbacks and visual cues, and that's the part that I found a little bit dense and odd about the film. It's either a revolutionary way of telling movie stories, or it's a solution to a really bad problem that they found themselves in while writing the screenplay. In any case, it wraps up the stories, has some terrific action scenes in it. It has some longueurs. There's a lengthy section that takes place underwater where virtually every little thing that can go wrong does, and so forth, which is part of the reality of the series and perhaps part of its charm. In any case, that's Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning. And speaking of finalities, Final Destination Bloodlines is a rebirth of the franchise about how death doesn't like to be frustrated and tracks down people and finds weird ways to kill them.
Grandma, what's happening to us?
Years ago, I had a premonition that started it all. But death doesn't like it when you mess with his plans.
This book, it will show you everything you need to know to keep our family safe.
It all started with Grandma. Death is coming for us because we were never supposed to exist.
What?
Only by embracing death will it pass you by.
Maybe death's not actually coming for our family. Because that would be crazy.
Good luck.
And one lesson you learn from this movie and from the others is don't stay away from vibrations. Anytime there's a vibration, something will rattle and then slowly creep towards the edge of a table and then fall off. Anyway, the opening sequence establishes Final Destination Bloodlines as possibly the comedy movie of the year. It is hilarious, the numerous ways of interlocking accidents lead to death and destruction on what is basically the Seattle Space Needle. But grotesque and bloody as it is, it turns out, spoiler alert, it turns out to be a dream, a bad dream by a person, an heir or relative of the person who actually prevented what in the dream is just a dream from becoming a reality at the time. And it's a plausible horror story and not particularly suspenseful. You are just always wondering what clever way they're going to come up with for killing off people. Another spoiler alert, you know, death wins in the end. There's no two ways around that. Next up, though, is another really violent movie, but I found it entertaining. It's the new Tom Hardy movie, Havoc.
My son is not a killer.
This kid is public enemy number one.
Your son just started a gang war. They just want to shoot him dead. That's the end of his story.
I make one phone call. You go down for life. Get him back.
I'm going to get you out.
It ain't up for discussion.
There are people out there looking for you.
You're not going to get out of this city alive without my help.
Don't forget, I know what you did.
You have no idea what I did.
This is your final warning. We're over now.
They were trying to escape. Kill them all.
And it's another, I don't know where all this violence is coming from, but movies are getting bloodier and more persistently, aggressively hostile. And this film is similar to a movie we mentioned last time called Gunslingers, only it's actually well done and well acted and fairly suspenseful. I don't know if the same can be said for Accountant 2. I barely remember the first Accountant, but in this one, it turns out that the accountant has a brother, and this person comes in to help the hero on a certain mission. It's a quirky premise in that the main character is on the spectrum, and yet is also a remarkably fit and cunning combatant. This is a movie, you watch it, and then you can't remember most of it in just a few minutes later.
Hey. Hi, sorry, I got a drink because I was nervous.
I had a couple in the car on the way over. Can't believe we're actually doing this.
I mean, you are the first guy who didn't ask for feet pics.
It's a second date thing. Are we okay?
Somebody sent me this.
It's just dumb kids trying to mess with you.
That's weird.
I mean, who do you think it is?
Oh, I don't know.
We can figure this out. Then you gotta be within 50 feet to send a drop. So, it's someone in the restaurant. Violet, everything okay?
I'll be right back. My son. Why him? Why does he have to die? Run! They chose me for a reason.
Shot of tequila never kill anybody, right?
So,
how's this date going?
Our next film, called simply Drop, is an interesting phenomenon. It's the latest in a recent influx of films in which one sole person is targeted in some way, and the nefarious person doing it is able to anticipate any attempt to escape from whatever it is that they're being forced to do. In this case, it's a recently widowed woman and mother who is on a first date in what could also be the Space Needle, given it's the height of where this restaurant is located, and starts receiving numerous messages on her telephone that are threatening her and blackmailing her and trying to manipulate her into performing an act, basically, of murder at the behest, it turns out, of a conspiracy to get rid of a witness to a crime, essentially. And it's well done. It's a good Saturday night DVD rental. I've never heard of any of the people who made it, and the cast is completely unknown to me, which is sometimes refreshing because that you don't have expectations. In any case, it's called simply Drop, and there's a number of new or recent television shows that merit mentioning for one reason or another, beginning with on Netflix, American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden.
We're at war. We will find those who did it, and we'll bring him to justice.
Kofor Black, chief of counterterrorism, said, if you'll let me do it, I'll have flies walking on their eyeballs in 6 weeks.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was working with a representative from the FAA, trying to track some of the conspirators.
We knew this was Osama bin Laden.
We were going to war full out against bin Laden.
You had branches of Al-Qaeda everywhere. Bin Laden basically franchised himself.
They had a stronghold in Tora Bora. That's where the intelligence said that they had retreated to.
This is the time to come in with massive force and end this thing.
Bin Laden got away. Every one of them that escaped the country was a potential pilot to fly another airline into a building.
And that's a 3-episode series that charts the hunt for bin Laden from September 11th to about 10 or 11 years later when America finally caught up with him. And it covers old ground, but also offers some new information and a wide variety of very interesting personalities who'd been involved in this from the members of the CIA to members of the SEAL team that conducted the mission. Also, Poker Face is back.
I got this thing. I can tell when someone's lying. It's kind of a thing I do. So, who are you?
I am Felicity Price.
Nope. Try again.
I am.
Both. Maybe. I'm figuring out how to finally start enjoying this journey, you know? Look me in the eye and, tell me that you didn't kill her.
That little demon sabotaged Elijah's magic trick.
I just want someone to like me.
Bullshoot.
Barracuda!
I want to know everything there is to know about you.
Oh, gosh, you don't mean that, but flattered nonetheless.
I'm a professional. I lie for a living, and your gift is uncanny. I've never seen anything like it.
No one's fooled me yet.
I'm gonna be the first.
Sorry, but I think I might be foolproof.
Game on, Charlie Kale. Barracuda!
On Peacock, and Mona and I have discussed this movie and how much we like it. It's basically a replay of Columbo, but with a funny gimmick. And so far, the first 3 or 4 episodes have been pretty clever and funny, and its show is well worth getting into and ideally binging on. Murderbot is a new program from Apple TV starring Alexander Sarsgaard.
I have been noticing some anomalies with the SEC unit.
Uh-oh.
And when I plugged into its system, the unit was already rogue.
It calls itself Murderbot.
House private.
It's a killing machine.
Murderbot?
Can you stop calling it Murderbot? It's terrifying.
You know what I mean? That's what it calls itself, so I am just being respectful.
Do you think we can trust it?
It seems like it's going through something.
Eye contact.
You could have killed me.
There was a chance, yes. But everything turned out fine.
It's a science fiction tale about a robot who suddenly acquires consciousness. I guess that's something we're worried about these days with AI and other issues. But I found the premise a little difficult to follow and it wasn't intriguing enough for me. So I didn't watch it after the first episode. On the other hand, Duster on the Max channel is the new program from J.J. Abrams, and it stars Josh Holloway, who was also in Abrams' famous Lost series.
You are in deeper than you think.
She's on to something. I don't know where it goes, but Joey was a part of it. You said to yourself, we got to find out what happened. Well, I found a thread, and I'm going to keep pulling.
Whatever's going on here involves the FBI and CIA, the Russians, and God knows who else.
And this one is set in the 70s in the Southwest, so it's kind of a comedy film soleil, and he plays a getaway driver who gets wrapped up in a series of very complicated situations in the world of crime and with the FBI, and it's got a terrific cast, and I'm sure that Mona's going to like this, so we'll revisit this TV show in a future episode. In any case, that's it for the whirlwind tour of recent movies and TV shows. And you are listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland. Please consider becoming a member today. Here is Matthew of KBOO's monthly Gremlin Time to discuss the new film from Jackie Chan.
Just out, or rather appearing last year in 2024, comes A Legend, directed by Stanley Tong and starring Jackie Chan. Just a great collaboration. And they've done a number of movies that have been really great. Rumble in the Bronx and a bunch of others, Chinese Zodiac and stuff. Now, Jackie appeared on the international scene in the mid-80s or so, and with a number of really outstanding movies. There was a movie called Project A, and which was a nice costume drama, but in it, it's set in 1900 in Hong Kong, but in it, Jackie goes totally Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd in the thing. Another movie he came out with really ranks up there with Dirty Harry and Bullet as a great police thriller, and that is a movie called Police Story. And It's a film that he has returned to a number of times. In fact, he did the second sequel to it, Police Story 3, is the movie Super Cop, which introduced Michelle Yeoh to international audiences also. And he has followed up on other police stories like this, other contemporary stories. He's even working on another sequel to the police story that he's been working on through the decades. There's a movie that came out in the mid-80s called Armor of God, and it's the first one that introduced Jackie in this sort of Indiana Jones update character. He's a archaeologist adventurer. He did Armor of God. He would follow up with another one called Armor of God 2, also known as Operation Condor. Really great film. So in this, Jackie plays a sort of similar character, Jackie Chan, an archaeologist. And so the movies give like a historic context as well as being a great action comedy. And so in this, again, we have events in the past that people in the present, or who are like descendants of the people in the past, sort of are dreaming about, and it kind of ties in with current events. So A Legend, it starts off with these two soldiers being sent out to look for more horses so that the Han dynasty army can protect itself from the invading Huns. And so here we've got Jackie Chan with nice computer generated to make him look younger, you know, like Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci did in a Scorsese film. And so here him and his companion, they're out searching the woods, and they see a figure riding at them like in red and white, and it turns out to be this princess who's running from the bad guys, the evil Huns, and the two heroes are able to rescue her in a very nice, elaborate fight sequence. With one thing I noticed in this, the horses do a lot of very interesting tricks in it as well, and the characters are really intimate with the horses to a certain degree. So they rescue the princess, and she turns out to be a pretty good fighter as well. She draws this big sword that's practically it's a pole and a sword, and the three of them fight off the other Huns. One of the companion to Jackie's a partner, he's very good with a bow, and there's very nice fighting there, and we're introduced to the villain. And then slowly we learn why she's being chased. It turns out that this is the new king of the Huns, and sort of like a Macbeth, he's like murdered his father and his brother, and he wants to take this woman as his bride. And there's a whole thing due to why she's captive by him in the first place and why she was escaping. And so Jackie's character finds her, and they kind of fall in love, and it's kind of sweet. But then we flash to the future, and here's Jackie Chan, the archaeologist, and he's dreamed about this romance. And sure enough, as they at the archaeological dig that they're on, they come across this jade pendant that looks exactly like the one that was in his dream. And then it turns out the other people in the group, they're sort of having the dreams too. And so the three characters in the flashback sequences are kind of repeated in these contemporary characters. And so, like I said, it's very romantic. It's very sentimental. I mean, for an action comedy, this has about four, this has like a four handkerchief rating. There are four scenes where you like are almost in tears. The problem with the film, I think, is the pacing, but I think it's more for the audience at the time. Not that they're slow, it's just that people work a lot in other countries and are really tired when they go to the movies. And so instead of like bam, 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 getting things at them, they kind of, it's easily paced. There's just wonderful photography. They're certainly channeling John Ford in this movie, the great of the horse soldiers riding against the mountains and a cloudy sky and lots of great and clever sequences. We're in the past, but the story resolves itself in the future as they find this hidden sanctuary that's got a hidden treasure in it. And it turns out a descendant of the bad guy from the past sequences is trying to get at it now. And the plot is really kind of interesting, how it keeps the balance between the serious and the tragic and the comedy action really blends together. And it's a kind of entertaining movie. I thought that it's not, as a historic drama, it's not really quite as good as I thought John Woo's Red Cliff. But it's a more low budget, but they've got a lot of extras, and they've got a lot of sets that they've been put together and great location shooting. And so we start off with this historic drama, and it sort of parallels events in the present as they're trying to find out what happened to the characters in their dreams. So this is from Stanley Tong. He and Jackie have worked together on a lot of other films. It's amazing how the durability of Jackie Chan. We talked earlier about Tom Cruise. You know, there's an actor who really likes being a movie star, and he delivers these actions and he puts himself on the line. Well, he gets that from Jackie Chan. Now, I want to make a little comparison. I mentioned John Ford, but also, you remember with John Wayne, here he wanted to retire back in the mid-50s, but he couldn't. He had to go on and star in movies. He couldn't just produce them because he couldn't get money to finance the movies unless he was starring in them. Now, of course, the way people took care of themselves back then is different than they do now. And here's Jackie, a good example of how he's kept himself fit to be able to continue to do these action roles even into his 70s. So this is a movie called A Legend. It's actually a sort of sequel to A Myth and another one called Yoga Kung Fu, which is pretty entertaining. It's got lots of action. It's interesting how the romance is resolved. Like, who's actually going to end up with who? It sort of comes out. And like I said, it's very sentimental. And so that's now out on disc, and that's the latest film from the great Jackie Chan, A Legend.
Thanks, Matthew.
And you're listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland. Please consider becoming a member today. So thank you for listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland. Film at 11 will be back next Friday. So until then, keep watching the screens. Listening to KBOO Portland.
Does your employer have a matching gifts program? Many companies offer dollar-for-dollar matching charitable contributions for donations you make to KBOO. The impact of your gift may be doubled or possibly tripled. Participating companies also match gifts.